It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
News Podcast presents Brett Baer's All-Star Panel.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fox's chief political anchor, Brett Baer.
Despite discouragement from President Biden and serious truce discussions taking place for hostage release and others, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu declared on Tuesday that Israel will invade Rafah regardless of whether a ceasefire deal with Hamas is made. This development comes as in the U.S., pro-Palestinian protests across American college campuses continue to ramp up, the issue becoming a serious dividing point for Democrats and even harder terrain for President Biden to navigate. Meanwhile, with the 2024 election creeping up, former President Donald Trump and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis appear to be burying the hatchet after a heated primary standoff, with the two meeting in Miami on Sunday to discuss putting their heads together to better the party and to move forward. To discuss all of this and more, we bring in our panel, anchor and executive editor of The Story, host of the Untold Story podcast, Martha McCallum, host of Fox Business Making Money and the Unstoppable Prosperity podcast, Charles Payne, and Fox News senior congressional correspondent, Chad Pergram. Martha, it's been amazing watching these protests and kind of the evolution of them and how politically Democrats on the Hill and in the administration are trying to deal with them.
It sure has. And we're seeing this creep across the country. And one of the things that I've been thinking about, Brett, and it's good to be with you, is to step back and look at the history of the impact of these kind of protests. And when you do that, you see that they've been effective, actually, over time, for better or worse in some cases. And this Hamilton building that the Columbia students are inhabiting right now, that they've taken over by force right now, this has happened before at that building. It happened during the Vietnam War. It happened in opposition to apartheid in South Africa. It happened when they wanted an ethics major on campus. So, and in each of these cases, you know, look at the Vietnam War, which is probably the best parallel for this. Eventually, American opinion turned against the war, and it led to our, you know, escape from Hanoi on with helicopters on the top of the U.S. embassy. So, you know, these may feel like they're sort of tangential protests of students, but they tend to sort of seep into the consciousness, and they can have a big impact, actually.
Yeah, and it's amazing to see lawmakers trying to, Charles, walk through this as best they can, not trying to upset, you know, American Jewish voters or folks who really don't approve of this kind of protest, but yet also their Arab American voters who are somehow behind some of this.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is and some people believe because that walk hasn't because they are trying to balance themselves, it's actually made things worse, particularly for President Biden. And of course, maybe a state like Michigan becomes more in play, but also a state like Florida is completely out of reach. And, you know, to pick up on what Martha was saying, in many ways, it's very similar to 1968. But also remember what happened in 1968. Richard Nixon crushed it. Right. It was, he was the law and order candidate. And ironically, they also had a third party candidate who won, Wallace won 5 southern states. He actually won North Carolina, too, but they nullified it. So it's a history may be repeating itself yet again in so many different ways with respect to all of this. I will say one thing a little different, though. It just, at least from my vantage point, knowing what happened in October 7th, I feel like the battle against apartheid was a righteous battle. I feel like the battle at some point in Vietnam was a righteous battle. I feel like these students are being manipulated to follow a script, a lot of them, that by much, much more powerful, influential forces like the Soroses of the world, who are putting up money, knowing how to nudge things, You know, a lot of them don't even know what river or what sea they're talking about when they talk about pushing the Israel out. So I'm not sure it's as organic, but it is seeping into the consciousness of America, and I think it's going to reverberate come November.
How does it play on the Hill, Chad?
Well, House Speaker Mike Johnson, I mean, he's certainly put together this task force of various committee chairs. They're going to have investigations, the House Education Committee. They have the leaders from University of Michigan and UCLA coming for a hearing. At least they've been invited for May 23rd. I talked to Bobby Scott this morning, who is the top Democrat on the Education Committee. And he said, you know, I asked him about this schism inside the Democratic Party, about, you know, those who want to be mindful of the human rights of the Palestinians, but also about what's going on with Israel. And then you have this anti-Semitic business going on. And he said everybody is somewhat torn. He said the problem is that there's a difference between protesting against the war and being anti-Semitic. And many of the protests have slipped into anti-Semitism. He also said, quote, there's a natural tension between the First Amendment and Criminal Code Title VI to make sure that the students can have an environment free of hatred and hostility to get an education. So this is this clash. Republicans are trying to take advantage of this. They see this wedge inside the Democratic Party. That's why they don't have much of an agenda, frankly, right now in the House of Representatives. And legislatively, this is kind of a gift, to put some things on the floor, have committee hearings, bring in maybe some of these college presidents. From a political standpoint, that has gone very well for the Republicans. Think about what happened last December when they had some of the Ivy League presidents in. So, you know, this is very emblematic of that. And you take somebody like Chuck Schumer, the majority leader in the Senate. He's Jewish. He has long been a big supporter of Israel, but has real problems with Benjamin Netanyahu. I mean, this is really starting to eat at the essence of the Democratic Party in an election year. There was a question to Pete Aguilar today, who's the chair of the Democratic Caucus, about whether or not this would affect young voters coming to vote for Democratic candidates, and he kind of sidestepped the question, frankly.
And Chad, the threat from Marjorie Taylor Greene to House Speaker Johnson, is that amorphous? Is that kind of the fray?
As of right now, she's not going to trigger it, because we dogged her outside the Capitol earlier, peppered her with questions. She would just go back to her office. She would not respond to anything. The only person who has been vocal about supporting this is Thomas Massey, the Republican from Kentucky. He says he won't trigger it. There is a press conference on Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock, and I pressed Thomas Massey just a bit ago before we joined about, you know, what the plan was, and he says, come to the press conference. That's all he would say, is come to the press conference. So here's what happens. If she were to trigger it, Democrats have now said, and this is part of Green strategy, that they would weigh in and vote to table or kill this effort. I talked to Catherine Clark, who's the Democratic whip, and she said it's time for us to put an end to some of this chaos on the Republican side of the aisle. It's not that they support Mike Johnson. They give him credit for helping with, the Ukraine bill and also avoiding government shutdown. So they're willing to kind of, give him a pass. But this is not a tacit endorsement for Mike Johnson. But there will be, if Green pops this, a recorded vote, and she wants that, to show that Democrats are supporting House Speaker Mike Johnson. And this is where Lauren Boebert, the Republican from Colorado, said at this point it doesn't matter whether or not we have Hakeem Jeffries as the speaker or Mike Johnson as the speaker, because we are passing, her words, the Democratic agenda.
Panel, we'll hold it right there.
The Will Kane Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Kane as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
It's amazing dynamic, Martha, and because of slim majorities, it's really tough to govern at times. That said, looking at the election coming up, the former president, if you look at the swing state polls, the Real Clear Politics average of polls, he still holds on to slim leads, some bigger leads in states that he didn't lead in before, and yet he's sitting in a courtroom every day.
Yeah, I mean, and it seems to be working fairly well for him in the polls. The CNN poll was, I think, a pretty interesting upside surprise for the former president. He was up by 6 in the national head-to-head. And as you point out, some of these newer polls that we're seeing today have them really neck and neck, but Trump in the lead in 7 of these swing states. And there's really, it's just there's no denying that the position that he's in appears to be helping him in the polls. And you also put that against the, I always like to look at the historical perspective of these things. You know, this is a law and order president who is running against a president who a lot of people in his own party want to push out. Remember, Lyndon Johnson dropped out in March prior to running for a second term. And then it, you know, started this scramble. You had, interestingly, Robert Kennedy running for president. He was assassinated in 1968. And Hubert Humphrey, the vice president, ended up being the nominee. But, you know, look at the angst that is existing right now in the Democrat Party. When you look at this schism over Israel, when you look at, you know, the New York Times, Brett, having this real animosity going on with Biden in the White House. And, you know, you hear what James Carville is saying about the electorate, the Democratic electorate, how angry he is at young voters. I mean, there's just a lot of tension that makes you wonder whether or not, you know, push comes to shove in some way in all of this, especially given the fact that Biden is polling at historic lows. 38% for a president seeking a second term is the lowest we've seen in history. So he's got a lot of headwinds coming at him right now. And I think that it's going to be a very dynamic 7 months.
Yeah, and the Democratic Convention in 1968
exactly
was in Chicago, which was very tumultuous, a lot of violence. Yeah. Charles, every poll that we look at, it says the economy is still number one. Immigration creeped up there for a little while, but the economy and how you feel about the economy is still driving the day. And people still don't feel great.
They don't feel great, and I don't think they're going to feel great. And I think that's one of the ironies of this whole thing is I interview these Wall Street economists, and I have found for the most part, certainly most labor economists, I'd say 99% are liberal or progressive. So they kind of lean and see things a certain way. But they went on the offensive last year and they started to call this vibeflation instead of inflation. Like, in other words, people are doing phenomenal. They just don't feel it. It's just a vibe. And I think the White House picked up on that, you know, and they tried that for a while, but it was insulting. It was insulting to people who went to the supermarket and came out with fewer bags, that you would say that was only a vibe. And so now we've got people are hanging on, and it's starting to look really, really dicey. We had consumer confidence come out, and the numbers were absolutely abysmal. Both current numbers and expectations plunged. We had some Chicago manufacturing data come out, plunged. And so the economy part is not going to get better in my estimation, and the messaging on it's not going to get any better. And, you know, you just can't make people feel great no matter what the data says, because there's two things. You have nominal data, which is the headline data. If we pour $1 trillion into this room, Martha and I would have a great time. Now, everything in the room would cost more, like the mic I'm talking on may cost $100 billion instead of $2, right? So, you know, so the president's like, hey, what about those trillions? And like, people are like, yeah, that was kind of cool, except
exactly.
It sparked 40-year high inflation, and we're still living with that. That does not go away. So we'll see. We got another jobs report coming out. But all in all, I would say that the economy is people are really fed up. They've kind of had enough. And at this point, looking at some of these consumer sentiment and confidence numbers this close to the summer, I'm not sure this can turn around in time to help the White House.
And Chad, last word. I mean, what else is up on Capitol Hill that's potentially in the making, you know?
One of the things to watch for here is the reauthorization of the FAA. That has to get done here by early May. There's a bill that came out over the weekend. And there's kind of a parochial issue in that that's going to be interesting, and it's whether or not there are increased flights to Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C. And you have bipartisan members from Virginia and Maryland who are from districts around the airport here who are very much opposed to that. You would think that they would like more slots to come in. They're very concerned about safety, and they're trying to change the bill to get that out. There was an incident just a couple of weeks ago at Reagan National, and the other focus in that bill is Boeing and overall air safety. I mean, Boeing has been front and center in the headlines for a while now for all the wrong reasons, and so that's the next big thing on the legislative docket. The other thing to watch for, and this doesn't happen until the fall, is, does the defunding efforts of some of these universities because of these protests, you know, that's something that the Republicans are talking about a lot right now. They don't have to fund the government until September 30th. That's, you know, when the new fiscal year will begin, October 1st. Is that going to be a collision course to fund the government this fall?
And if those protests and that situation in Israel, Gaza continues into the summer and the conventions and beyond into the fall, it's going to be tumultuous to say the least. Panel, thanks so much. Now for a bit of history. April 30th, 1789, George Washington was inaugurated as the first U.S. president. Unlike Inauguration Day in modern days, the first president didn't take his oath in Washington, D.C., but instead he was sworn in at New York City's Federal Hall, which served as the U.S. Capitol at the time. In his inaugural address, President Washington noted that no life event could have filled him with greater anxieties than becoming the leader of a new nation. But despite the nerves, he would go on to influence the path of the presidency in ways that continue leaving a mark today. That'll do it for this week. You can hear more of this series at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and a review. We want to hear from you. For Martha, Charles, and Chad, I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.